Ahab was the seventh king of Israel, ruling from 871 to 852 BC. And he was a complete disaster. Not least because rather than marry a Jewish woman, as he should have done, he chose for his bride a Gentile, a Phoenician princess named Jezebel, who was a daughter of the pagan priest king of Tyre and Sidon, twin cities located on the coast of modern Lebanon and outside of Jewish territory both then and now. During their marriage, Jezebel convinced Ahab to do many foolish and immoral things, including, worst of all, turning away from the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in favor of the idolatrous worship of Baal, a pagan fertility god who was idolized under many names and guises in ancient Mediterranean civilizations, including Jezebel's. The apostasy of Ahab set the stage for constant conflict with his own people, most notably with the great prophet Elijah, who attempted in many ways and over several years to turn the heart and mind of Ahab back to the true God. But Jezebel's influence over Ahab was stronger than Elijah's. During this struggle for true religion in the kingdom, and in a last effort to reach the king, Elijah was moved by the Lord to pray for a severe drought, which caused a famine. And in the midst of the disaster, Elijah was directed by the Lord to seek refuge in Zarephath, a Phoenician coastal city right between Tyre and Sidon, the hometown of Jezebel. And there, in pagan territory, Elijah was received with generosity and kindness by a simple widow who expected that she and her only son would soon die of hunger. When Elijah asked the woman for a small cup of water and a little bit of bread, she replied, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Her serenity and courage in the face of death are admirable. But please notice how she described the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Elijah. "The Lord, your God." Not the Lord, our God, but your God. This widow was not a Jew, and she had lived her life in Jezebel's native place among those who worshipped Baal, the same false god, devotion to whom had led to the conflict with Ahab, which caused the drought and famine in the first place. Jezebel was greedy, grasping, and vicious, but not because she was a pagan. The widow of Zarephath most likely also worshipped Baal, and so she might have been filled with anger, resentment, and contempt for Elijah and for his foreign god. But instead, she willingly welcomed a stranger in need because she saw in him another like herself, a human person to be respected and treated with compassion. And for this reason, her generosity of spirit was rewarded in a way she could never have expected. She and her son, together with the prophet of Israel, were sustained during the famine for a whole year without exhausting their food, thus confirming the truth taught by the New Testament letter of James, that religion true and undefiled is found in visiting widows and orphans in their affliction and keeping oneself unstained from the world. And this same wisdom was revealed again by the words of the Savior recorded by St. Mark in chapter 12 of his gospel. The Lord Jesus condemned the external religiosity of the scribes who behaved in pious ways, but for their own profit, while Jesus praised the simple devotion of the poor widow who gave from her poverty everything she had for the welfare of others, and in so doing, revealed genuine worship of the living God. It is well for us to ponder these truths and to shape our lives by them for many reasons, especially because of what we read in the second lesson today from the letter to the Hebrews. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. The month of November opens with the twin feasts of All Saints and All Souls, and closes with the solemnity of Christ the King. And each year at this time, the sacred liturgy reminds us of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Our hope for eternal life lies not in our own righteousness, but only in the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, who takes away our sins. But that does not mean that we can neglect our duty to live according to the gospel. Instead, we are called by our baptism to live the truth with generosity and compassion, just as did the widow of Zarephath and the widow in the temple treasury. The religious life of Ahab, Jezebel, and the scribes was centered on themselves, while that of the two widows was centered on others, as must ours be. The psalmist understood these truths when he sang, "The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts." God be praised that Jesus Christ appeared in human history to take away sin once for all by his sacrifice. And God be praised that Jesus Christ will appear again at the end of history to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. And now, in the ages between Christ's victory over death and his return in glory at the last day, we live according to his teaching by grace through faith, and demonstrate the truth of our faith by the way we treat others, especially the powerless and vulnerable. Friends, it is by our way of life, as much as by the witness of our words, that we proclaim to all the world the saving gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord.